O Lord, our strength and Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Maria Dyer was born in 1837 on the mission field in China, where her parents were pioneer missionaries. Both her parents died when Maria was a little girl, and she was sent back to England to be raised by an uncle. The loss of her parents, however, did not deter her young heart from the importance of sharing the gospel. At age 16, she, along with her sister, returned to China to work in a girls' school as a missionary herself. 5 years later, she married Hudson Taylor, a man well known today for his life of ministry, faith, and sacrifice. Of their 9 children, only 4 survived to adulthood. Maria herself died of cholera when she was just 43. But she believed the cause of her missionary service was worthy of her sacrifice. On her grave marker, these words were inscribed: "For her to live was Christ, and to die was gain." In a day when many care more about what they can get rather than what they can give, we need a renewal of sacrificial love. It was God's love for us that sent Jesus into the world to die for our sins, and it is that kind of love, giving of love, that our world needs so greatly today. When we love God and others as we should, our own interests fade into the background. This morning, I want to speak about living the sacrificial Christian life. It's not beyond us. We don't have to go to China. We don't have to go to Canada or Mexico. We can live a sacrificial life with the opportunities that God puts before our nose this very day. That's what I want to emphasize. The first sacrifice I want to speak about is the first thing that the writer of Hebrews says in this passage, that we're to offer to God the sacrifice of praise. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, the writer says this: "Through him, let us then continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name." It is only through Jesus Christ and by virtue of himself as a ransom for sinners that we can serve God and one another. Jesus Christ is our sole mediator, and it is accordingly through his once and for all sacrifice for our sins that we offer ourselves unto God, and we are pleasing through Jesus Christ. Our service to God does not contribute to our salvation in any measure, but it is the result of our justification before God through Jesus Christ. The offering up of praise to God is not a matter of singing praise to God with hymns and songs. If that were the case, I couldn't do that. But what the sacrifice of praise is our spiritual and logical worship of God that we're to do continually. That means it's more than just what happens in this hour on Sunday. Continually means Monday through Saturday and Sunday, 7 days a week. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12:1, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." This sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving affects our entire being as it is offered up to God continually at all times and in all kinds of situations. Because the writer of Hebrews speaks of this being continual, it's not exclusively what happens as we gather together, but each believer is to do this on a daily basis in the totality of his life. The phrase "fruit of lips" is the writer repeating a common theme throughout Scripture. For instance, in Psalm 50, verse 23, the psalmist says this: "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of God. And so the sacrifice of praise is all about giving thanks to God for the things that are right before us. I've said in the past, it's the easy things that we can too easily take for granted. The fact that we're healthy, we got a roof over our heads, we got indoor plumbing, we got enough food in the refrigerator and freezer to last us weeks. Keep that in mind the next time it snows. To offer to God the sacrifice of praise is to praise God for his many blessings to us. And we ought to verbally praise God, even if it's in private. Praise him as an affirmation of your gratitude and thankfulness to God. Secondly, we're also told that we are to sacrificially give to others. Hebrews 13:16 says this, "And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Now the New American Standard says, "Do not neglect doing good and sharing." English Standard Version says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. New International Version reads, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others." Each of these translations are helpful in their own way, but the Greek text has one word for doing good and sharing, and that is the word koinonia, which has various shades of meaning ranging from fellowship, a sharing of our common life, sharing for the common good and enrichment of others. Closely related to this idea of sharing in the common good is our English word solidarity. It's a good word. Some of us might remember way back to the 1980s when Lech Walesa was bringing about, not just him, but many others, a revolution of peace in Poland for the common good, solidarity. So as it's defined in Webster's, solidarity means unity as a group or class that produces or is based on community of interests, objectives, and standards. Being in solidarity with other people is not just an idea in your mind, but the accompanying actions which bear testimony that what we have in common with other people matters. The giving spoken of in this verse includes giving financially to those in need, but it is not limited to financial gifts. It can be in many other ways that we give to others in need. We can give to others in need in our very presence and our company, because quite frankly, there are a lot of people in our community who are lonely. And the best gift you can give them is the gift of socializing and being with them. We can also give to others as we help them with a skill that we have and which they lack. We can also encourage each other verbally by reminding us of the promises of God, or just being with them during a difficult time is an encouragement. Reminding another person that you are praying for them for a particular need is another aspect, an example of sharing and supporting one another. All across our country and our communities, we have people who are financially rich, but who are spiritually impoverished. We need to point them to those riches which will never fade away, the riches of God's grace and mercy and of our salvation and redemption through Jesus Christ. Jesus taught us that the two greatest commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. These two sacrifices, praising God for his goodness and giving to those in need, are applications of loving God and loving your neighbor. We need to treat each other like we are in solidarity with one another. And that includes both Christians and non-Christians, because everyone, without exception, is made in the image of God. whether they believe in God or not. They are made in God's image. Therefore, in Adam, we are all in solidarity with one another. And so we need to show that, that we truly are all part of the family of Adam. These two sacrifices, that of praising God and giving to those in need, are acceptable to God in Jesus Christ. So having received God's grace, we are to share his compassionate grace with others. My third and final point is the foundation of the sacrificial life in Jesus Christ, and that is his work for us. And that's included in what I would call the benediction of this verse, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The foundation and source of our peace with God is given to us in this passage, and that is all about the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. God the Father brought up Jesus from the dead on the third day, our great shepherd who shed his blood for us. It is the resurrection of Christ that is proof positive that Jesus died for our sins. Philip Hughes says this in his commentary on his verse, quote, had he not shed his blood for us, he could not be our Savior. Had he not been brought up again from the dead, he could neither be Savior nor Lord. But the resurrection manifested his glory as the Prince of Life and Conqueror of Death, and confirmed that his blood is the seal of a covenant that eternal, and that by this single offering of himself he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. End of quote. It is Christ's death and resurrection which equips us for every good work. By telling us that Christ's death and resurrection equips us for every good work, it is showing that Jesus is more than just an exemplary human being. If Jesus was merely a human person and nothing more, then his death could be admired, but it could not be more than that. Since Christ's death and resurrection equips us for every good work, it is obvious that Jesus is more than just human. He is God and man, and therefore his death and resurrection really equip us in a way that we don't understand. But through him, our old man dies and we are given new life so that we can live with resurrection life, which enables us to praise God and to share with others. His death secured our eternal salvation, and his resurrection overcame sin and death. His death and resurrection therefore empower us, because he is both God and man, that we are fully equipped to serve God. Our new life in Christ is meant to be lived. It's meant to be worked out in union with the will of God. The union of our will with God's will is possible because it is through the death of Jesus that our souls are being healed. God is working in us and enables us to work with him and to do his will. The Christian service, therefore, is not mere passive submission to God, but willing, joyful, and cooperative obedience to God. To serve God and to do his will is perfect freedom. May God's grace enable each of us to withstand every adversity so that we will be able to persevere until we reach the promised land, the place of our rest in God's eternal kingdom. To him be both glory now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we give you praise that your Son, Jesus Christ, achieved peace between God and us by his life, death, and resurrection. Help us, O Lord, to walk in the newness of resurrection life. Help us to yield to the Holy Spirit and to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. These things we ask in his holy name. Amen.